Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, and Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says to them this: "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them." Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, "Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large?" Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am with you still. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I'm leaving you with a gift: peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really love me, you would be happy that I am going to the Father who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe." Amen. Well, I had to go out and do a little bit of shopping quickly last evening. It was sort of a different kind of day, a lot of interruptions, and I didn't get around to that till the end of the day. Lo and behold, I'm walking into Sobeys, and who do I see walking out but my good friend, really good friend, Jason Small, who's the pastor at Community Church, the Pentecostal congregation here in the community up on the 6th Concession. And we just get chatting, and then we're talking about WOW, and then we're talking about today, and I said, "Oh, we got cake for Sunday." He said, "What's the celebration?" And I said, "Well, you know, he's my Pentecostal brother." I said, it's Pentecostal Sunday. And he looks at me because he knows I'm a Presbyterian. "It's what?" I said, "It's Pentecostal Sunday." I said, "I just put the costal thing on the end for you. It's Pentecost Sunday. You see, you celebrate the Spirit every Sunday. We get to celebrate the Spirit one Sunday." Now, he knew I wasn't being serious because, after all, I did spend about 10 years in a Pentecostal community. And he said, "Well, at least be sure to go big." So, I'm going to go big. I want you to pretend with me this morning. You can just imagine this, will you? That right here, framed right here, okay, you see it right here. Who's ever gone through an airport scanner? Okay, I'm going to go through a scanner here, okay? Just pretend it's a scanner here. All right, here I go. Right? Yeah. You're absolutely right, because that's not an airport scanner. You know what that is? I'm going to call that the Spirit Detection Scanner. Ooh. Now, if you don't know, the truth is about me that May is my worst month of the year. It's my allergy month. I may not look like it, but I'll tell you, I feel like it. I am in a fog, and my wife would say, it's my month of discontent. It's my crabby month. Now, don't. Some of you, I hear you already, every month with you, George, is crabby, but anyway, I come walking through that spirit detection scanner. Who said the beep? You were right. It goes off, you know, the lights start flashing, and my life is publicly revealed. Stop! No Spirit of God, but plenty of spirit of discontent. No Spirit of God, but plenty spirit of crabbiness. I'm on show as I walk in here, and It says, stop. You ever been through them? And you go through and they say, okay, take your shoes off. You know, what was that in your pocket? Stop. Deal with that discontent. Deal with that crabbiness. I mean, think what it would be like if on a Sunday morning you're coming to church here and every single one of us had to go through spirit detection scanners coming in here. Okay? Now, I'm not saying this of any of you because it could just be true of me as much as of any one of you, but think to yourself what it would look like. Beep, lights off, no Holy Spirit of God, but oh, there's a spirit of complaint, there's a spirit of gossip, there's a spirit of, you know, judgmentalism, a spirit of selfishness. You know, you're coming through, oops, beep, no Spirit of God, but whoa, high levels of the spirit of greed, lust, ungodly ambition. Hey, listen, you know, if we had spirit detection scanners here, there might not be anybody in this room. And isn't that the truth? It is the truth. Now, you're like me. I know this. I get up every morning, and I want to live a life with gratitude. When I get up in the morning, I want, honestly, I mean, even in May, I want to be a joyful person. When you get up in the morning, you know, I want to be a person who, when I'm walking around, people just sense that I'm filled with the spirit of hope. That there's a liveliness and a love. I mean, my heart when I get up in the morning is to, honestly, you may not believe this, but it is, I want to be a humble person. I want to be a kind person when I get up in the morning. But then I get up. And what I discover is that there's this gap between what I want and what is. Now the Bible, really the Bible from Genesis 3 on, is the story about how we cannot live our lives any longer on our own resources. I don't have that capacity, that ability to live life the way I was created to. If I'm depending simply on my own resources, I need, and indeed all of us need, the help of someone else if we are going to be able to live the way that God created us to live. We need something more than our best. I look out here and I see best, best, best. But, you know, you need something more because, come on, children are honest with me. On a lot of days, what others get is not our best. It might even be our worst. Easily could be our worst. What we need is the Spirit of God living in us, taking residence within us, helping us to live beyond what we are able to do on our own. Sometimes in the Old Testament, you will read stories about how the Spirit of God fell with power upon certain individuals. The Spirit fell upon Moses. Fire fall down? Wow, the fire came down on Moses. The Spirit of God fell on Deborah. The Spirit of God fell on David. But here's the thing. In the Old Testament, what we read about there is that this fire falling, the Spirit of God coming, is only something that's temporary. It's only spasmodic. It's like it's to, in certain places, certain events, and certain people. Specific people, not everyone. But tucked away in the Old Testament, it's open here this morning, Joel, all right? Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, and there's this promise of God, and God says this, I will pour out my spirit on all people. My goodness, that includes me, and you as well. Jesus was born, God incarnate, Word became flesh. He was born as the prototype, the first one of what it would be like for a human being to have the Spirit of God dwelling fully within them, Spirit-filled, Spirit-surrendered, Spirit-directed, and He's the prototype. We get to be like Him. Our scripture lesson in John 14 this morning, I read it to you there. Jesus says to His disciples before His death, I'm going away, but I'm coming back. And I'm going to come back in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Father and I are going to send you a representative of ourselves, and that's the Holy Spirit. And after his death and his resurrection, Jesus says to the disciples, Acts chapter 1, you need to wait. I mean, don't go out there trying to do stuff like I did on your own strength and power. Don't do that. I want you to wait because the Father is going to send you the gift he promised. And you are going to receive power from the Spirit to be my witnesses. And then you get it in Acts chapter 2. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire. I mean, they couldn't quite figure out what was going on, but it looked like this, it looked like that, like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Fire fall down, settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, that was no empty promise of God. It happened just as Jesus said it was going to happen, and it happened big time. And being filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, it's used interchangeably in the Acts of the Apostles and the Epistles, changed the lives of those first disciples. And those disciples began to live more and more like the prototype, like Jesus. And filled with the Holy Spirit, they were becoming more like their master. And it meant that they were able, I mean, in the span, you may think this is a long time, but really it's a short period of time. But in the span of a century or two, they changed the world. Changed the world that they lived in. Well, that was then. We're in 2013. That was like two millennia ago. What about now? Well, I'm going to stand before you and say something rather bold. It's still the same. It hasn't changed. The Holy Spirit of God living in us to help us become more and more like Jesus, that Spirit is just as available to you and me this morning as it was on that first Pentecost. The Spirit of God living in us, helping us to live more like Jesus. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you've put your trust and your faith in Christ, you've committed yourself to follow Jesus as the Lord of your life, you have God's Spirit already. You don't have to go pleading to God, I don't have this. No, you've got the Spirit of God living in you this morning. You've given your life to Christ. You have the power available to you, the spiritual power available to you, be so strongly filled with the presence and the power of God upon your life that others will see. I mean, it may not even be that you have to tell them. Wouldn't help. I mean, it would help, but it doesn't have to. That you're, unconditionally committed to God, that you're irrevocably devoted to your brothers and sisters in the family of faith. Next Sunday, I'm going to start my summer series, and I'm titling it, the overall title is called The Irresistible Church. And what I want to look at is nine very specific dimensions of what it means to be a church that's filled with the Spirit, and how each one of those, the nine things I'm going to look at, causes a church to be an irresistible presence of God in the community and in the wider community. Now, all that said, I knew that as this week started and as it ended, that I had one thing that I had to talk about before any of those other things this morning. And this is not an easy thing to talk about, because I've had a question, really, this week, and it's been a very large question. It's weighed heavily upon me. Is it okay? Because I've felt this. I've had this emotion all week. Is it okay to be angry? Is being angry something that is becoming more and more like Jesus? I've been angry all week. I mean, I'll tell you, I've been very angry, and I'm not, it's just been in me. You know what I'm talking about, this tragedy that's come so close, really, to home. I mean, in one way, that doesn't sound like one of those irresistible traits of the church, does it? Yeah, out over the signboard, we're the angry church. You might not post that out there. But there was a day when Jesus got so angry at seeing violation take place to things that were sacred, seeing stuff that was violated. He got so angry that he turned tables over. He took a whip out and he let them have it. It was a holy and a righteous anger. And I want to say this carefully and measure it, but I believe it was the kind of anger that God felt this week, last week too. So that if I was to come through this spirit detection scanner, and I'm not pure in all the anger that I sense and feel, because some of my anger has been very retributive, revenge-oriented, but in my thought anyway. But if I was to come through that spirit detection scanner, I think a good part of that would be seen to be the spirit of a holy anger burning in me. That such a thing could happen. Now, not in the same fashion, not in the same way, but I felt a distress last Sunday when Grace Van Druten was speaking here. How many of you vacationed in the Caribbean? And we go there and we enjoy ourselves. I've done it. And it's wonderful. And there we are in the lap of luxury. And yet, there's a hospital in one of those countries. It doesn't have bed sheets and bandages for the people that they minister to. I feel distress about that. Well, I'm living my nice holiday, you know. I mean, I heard when I was at the Save the Mother's Walk in Dundas there the other Saturday, Gene Chamberlain Froese asked a young man who's doing his PhD in sociology at McMaster. He's from Uganda, to get up and just say a few words. And I'll tell you, when you're from Uganda, a few words mean like you got like 25 minutes. Eh? Felt like that, seemed like that. But anyway, he just went for it. Whoa. I mean, I've heard it before, but I heard it from him. Here in Canada, maybe 15 maternal-related, you know, deaths a year, but in Uganda, 15 a day. I felt it then. Now, the Bible tells us that in this discontent, this distress, this anger, whatever it is, that we're to be careful, very careful, that we don't sin. And what that means is that we need to seek to be led by the Spirit to find the very best ways that we can to be. If I want to say something about what's happened through the past week, it would be this, that find the ways that we can be led by the Spirit to be the instrument of God's healing and God's restorative presence in the midst of all of the injustice. We look at some of the other things that go on, the inequity of the situations, all of that. You know, and there's so many more that blight our community and our world. And the power of the Spirit, we need to be praying that there'll be the spirit of comfort and strength for the Bosma family, that we'll be able, as a congregation, to have this culture and mindset of giving, to be able to give generously, to help a church in Grenada, to love people wherever we see them in need without limit, to work in our community, to work in our province, our country, our world, to change as much as we're able to. Agents of change, those things that violate, that blight God's intention for His creation, and they're all around us. I think digging trenches is what it means to be like Jesus. I think giving $20 for a bed sheet for a church in Grenada is what it means to be like Jesus. What would it be like for you if you started tomorrow morning, you started to say when you get up, something like this. You go to work, or maybe you go to school, all right? What would it be like if maybe you're at home through the day, or maybe you get involved through the course of the day on well, you're not going to school on Monday, but work on Monday, but Tuesday, some kind of challenging situation, a conversation, or you're involved in planning for some kind of event, whatever it is you're doing, what would it be like if you said to God, Holy Spirit, you lead me. Holy Spirit, you guide me. Holy Spirit, I surrender my life to you. Holy Spirit, help me today. I want to become more and more like Jesus. Over 2,000 years ago, there were some very ordinary people, like even more ordinary than some of you here this morning, ordinary people, men and women, and they were just waiting. I think there was 120 of them, the Bible says, less than is here this morning. And they were just waiting for the Spirit of God to come. And when God's Spirit came upon them, not only upon them, but filled their lives, here's what happened. They gave up everything. I mean, they just started to live sold-out lives. They gave up their money. They gave up their status. They gave up all their life plans and ambitions. They gave up their lives. And what it meant was they changed their community. They changed the world that they live in. I'm going to invite the praise team to come forward. You know, I don't have a big voice. I'm just a very ordinary George, okay? I just have one voice. But I think with my one voice, and hopefully a voice that gets joined by yours, could it be said, could we say this morning on this Pentecost Sunday, even while we're eating our cake, that kind of thing can actually happen again? That God's Spirit has lost nothing of His power, that the Spirit of God is no less able to change lives and communities today than He was then. Now, you may think that that's foolish, just a little idealistic, but I wonder to myself if, you know, there could not be spirit detection scanners in our homes, in this building, in our neighborhoods, that would light up every time one of us walked through them. And it wouldn't say stop and remove. It would say something like this. I quote from Scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. God's Spirit has anointed us to bring good news to the poor. God's Spirit has sent us to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of God's favor has come. Stand with me, will you? We're going to sing.